Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff. Today is part two of the 10 techniques that every white belt should know. So a couple of months ago, I released part one, and it's been one of my most popular episodes to date. A lot of you guys gave me some really good feedback. I know a bunch of you and your training partner went through those 10 techniques, drilled them until you were proficient at them. And that's exactly what I wanted. And so a few of you have asked for a part two or for more techniques for you to work on. And so that's what I wanted to do today. Because when I first created that list, I didn't just write down 10 techniques. I had a bunch, but some just didn't quite make the cut. So I wanted to release the ones that didn't, as well as a couple of others that I think every practitioner should get proficient at. Number one, we've got recovering guard from turtle, particularly with the running man escape. Now, the running man escape is a 10th planet name. I don't know what they call it in traditional Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but this is one of Brandon's specialties. It's one of his best techniques. He's been doing it forever, so I highly recommend learning it from him. Whether you're a student at 10th Planet Decatur and you have access to asking Brandon how to do it, or you're a member of his website, it's definitely on there. Now, I'm not quite sure if it's for free on YouTube. I know Brandon's got a lot of techniques for free on YouTube. This might be one of them because, as I said, it is his best technique and he's been doing it for a long time. But definitely, definitely add that escape into your game. But even if you don't and you just focus on getting up into turtle, that is so important. Number one, it stops you from being crushed. So when a guy's coming to pass your guard and looking to crush you from side control, if you can get up effortlessly and at will to turtle, it will save you so much time, especially from being crushed on bottom. Number two, it puts you in a better situation to recover your guard or to put yourself into wrestling situations. If you really like getting into wrestling situations or you were a wrestler, you need to master getting up into turtle. And number three, you're halfway to standing back up. Now, one of the big issues people have and the big mistakes they have is one, not coming up into a strong turtle. They come up with bad posture. They don't come up whole body together and they get crushed. Or they get their hooks exposed. What I mean is they're exposed their back. Their partner puts in either a near or far side hook, takes their back and chokes them. So you want to avoid those two common errors. Number two, mounted armbar. Now the mounted armbar almost made it into the original list. I mean, it's been done forever. If you've seen any old Gracie in action video or any old Gracie combatives video, you're going to see the mounted armbar. And whenever you're going against somebody, especially if they don't have a lot of training, their arms continuously push. They're constantly trying to push you. They're going to push your chest, trying to bench press you off of them. And when you're in mount, it's one of the easiest attacks, and I think one of the most important attacks to understand. So check out how the Gracies teach the mounted armbar, as well as somebody that's really slept on that has an incredible mounted armbar is Eddie Bravo. Eddie Bravo's got a really, really good S mount. Practicing how Eddie moves up into that S mount, into that mounted armbar, I think should be taught at every school across the world. He is so good at that. And it really teaches you, again, to expose, especially spazzy guys, big, strong guys trying to just bench press you off. You're going to get a lot of taps over the years and a lot of efficient Brazilian jiu-jitsu taps with that mounted armbar. Earlier today, I was actually watching a video of two bodybuilders training Brazilian jiu-jitsu for the first time. And again, that's the movement that I saw them get exposed with time and time again is, again, in their mind, oh, there's weight on top of me. I'm going to throw it off. Those arms get extended, and they got tapped multiple times by the mounted armbar. Beautiful to watch. Number three, the straight ankle lock from Ashigarami. Now, I think you should be able to do this from the top and bottom. I would like to see you start to learn how to entangle legs. Now, I would put a little more emphasis on the Ashigarami from the bottom. So whenever we're first teaching the straight ankle lock, we'll generally do it from a shin to shin guard where you get a tilt and off balance and you pop up into that single leg X or Ashigarami, whatever you want to call it. You use the tilted sweep. So you tilt side to side a couple of times, sweep your partner, his butt hits the ground, his or her butt hits the ground, and you finish that straight ankle lock. That's the sweet sequence that I would really recommend you get proficient at. It's the beginning of learning how to play the single leg X and the X guard, which I think are two of the best guards you can play in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Now, I learned as a blue belt the straight ankle lock from Gokor Chevechkin. I was really lucky to take a couple of privates with him, and Gokor blew my mind with the one-arm straight ankle lock. I showed that technique to Brandon, and Brandon ran with it. His straight ankle lock is much better than mine. I actually do mine a little bit different. But I think being able to finish the straight ankle lock with one arm teaches you how to break a leg without just, you know, a lot of times you see a guy's put their hands together and just try and hip through, and they're doing it all wrong. This will teach you how to use your body to get the tap. So the one-arm straight ankle lock, I think, is one of the best movements for a beginner. I mean, again, anyone, white belt all the way up to black belt. Now, the next technique almost made it as well into the original 10, the arm drag to the back. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of the arm drag. Whether you're standing, whether you're in a self-defense situation, whether you're in butterfly guard or closed guard, it's just one of the best ways to get to your opponent's back. One of the most efficient ways to get distance. So take out distance from you and your opponent. You connect, and then you can take the back. Now, when you're learning this technique, I highly recommend you learn it from a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner. Not because the wrestlers don't have a good arm drag. It's just because when you learn it from a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, he's going to really put the emphasis on taking the back properly, how to take and control the back until you get the choke. Now, I've seen tons of high-level wrestlers teach this, but again, their emphasis is on the takedown. I, again, prefer the emphasis being on the finish, but that's just my preference. So again, I highly recommend you learn the arm drag from a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt and you use it to take the back. Now, this next technique is, honestly, it might be the best submission for self-defense situations. And that's just the naked guillotine. And I would like to see students be able to do it from the standing position. Whether it's from a snap down, you get a collar tie snap down and pop on that naked guillotine, or from an opponent charging you, trying to take you down. How many street fights, just think right now, how many street fights have you seen two guys, they don't know what they're doing, but one guy ends up grabbing a guillotine? Oh, I've seen countless. I have seen tens of maybe even 100 guys grab a guillotine, didn't know what they were doing, but they had access to the neck, grabbed a guillotine and started wrenching on it. When you have a viable guillotine, it gives you so much confidence to stand on your feet. It's a very counter wrestling move. You're scared of the brand new guy that's a wrestler. He wrestled in college, or he wrestled and, you know, won a state championship in high school. You'll be shocked at how many guillotines you can get on him in the first couple of months. Because those guys just shoot in, they get deep. They're all concerned about getting deep. They don't think as much about their head positioning, and particularly when it comes to chokes. And so getting that guillotine is crucial. And then when you can get that guillotine on them, you know that in a self-defense situation or in a street fight, getting a guillotine on an untrained guy trying to just dive in and take you down is the easiest thing in the world. And you'll end the fight before it even starts. There's a lot of really good guillotine material out there, but really focus on doing it from standing, being able to do it from standing. The next technique is the Torreonda pass, or the bullfighter pass. The Torreonda pass is one of the most basic passes, and I think it's a pass that's taught every school all across the world. Now, in the gi and no gi, it's going to look a little bit different. In the gi, it's super effective because you can grab the pants. But no gi, you can see cup just below the kneecaps, and it really puts a lot of pressure on your opponent's guard. And I really love the Torreonda pass because it teaches guys how to stand and pass. So in the first episode of this, the knee cut is the one pass I would teach everybody. Everybody's got to have a knee cut. But the second pass is standing, and it is this Torreonda pass. I'd recommend learning it first from a gi practitioner, actually. Going to YouTube, finding a good gi practitioner, and watch how they use the Torreonda pass, and then start adapting it and using it in no gi. but it really teaches you a lot about footwork and how to step past guys' guards. You'll be shocked once you start getting this Toriana pass down how easy it is to pass white and blue belts with it. Just good footwork passes most white and blue belt guards. Without doing anything fancy, used a couple steps here, really sets you up to easily pass most guys' guards. I would say about easily 50% of the guys at 10th Planet Decatur, you can pass pretty easily with the Toriana pass. The Toriana pass also is a great combo passing chain. So it's really good to put into a chain pass. A lot of guys use their Toriana to set up other passes. And really, I use the Toriana pass all the time to set up my knee slices on both sides. So it's a great pass to add to your knee slice. Now this neck technique, the seventh, is going to really surprise you. And this is the one that I added last. But it's something that really impresses me and I think teaches you about posture, particularly in no-gi, more than anything. Because one of the big issues, and I think one of the things guys say that the gi, a big benefit of guys training in the gi compared to no-gi is posture. In the gi, with guys hanging on your collar, constantly grabbing your collar, you learn to just take stronger posture. And I think there's some truth to that. But when you learn how to escape darce chokes, or really any arm-in choke, you learn posture. Now, Brandon was the first guy that really that I saw in no-gi really putting emphasis on posturing from these arm-in chokes, and he had to because of his neck surgery. So he couldn't have guys just pulling on his neck. He just couldn't have that anymore. So he had to learn how to posture effortlessly into a position that was it was impossible for his neck to get folded. And so learning the how to escape darces, how to survive in darces is going to be, at first, it looks like magic when you do, and it really frustrates your opponent. But secondly, it's going to teach you about posture, things that, honestly, I don't think there's any other technique in no-gi that can teach you about posture more and the power of posture than just escaping darce chokes. Eighth technique is the knee on belly. A couple of different things from knee on belly. Obviously, being able to windshield wipe side to side. I think that's a technique or a skill that is highly slept on. Being able to do that efficiently and smoothly really sets you apart from your training partners. Whenever we're teaching a technique, last month actually, our flow of the month that Brandon created off of the darce choke involved a pass. It was an M1 pass to the knee on belly. Opponent turns in. Knee skip over to the other side, and then you take a darce from the other side. Well, I always kind of cringe whenever I'm watching guys do the windshield wiper and they're having to hop or they're not doing it smoothly. It's just one of those techniques when done improperly or not done smoothly, it looks really, really bad. Now, I used to practice my knee skips, knee on belly skips with a basketball. I had heard guys in Brazil were doing that with a soccer ball. They would just get a pumped up soccer ball and then practice knee skipping side to side. And I think that's a great drill to do. I did that a lot at Blue Belt and it really helped my movement side to side tremendously. Now, I think you also from knee on belly should be able to throw strikes. Now, there's a reason that knee on belly scores more points than side control in IBJJF. And that's because you can inflict more damage from knee on belly. If you've ever wondered why some positions are scored more than others, that's the reason. It's because more damage can be done from mount than from side control. But knee on belly is that midway point where you can really create some good distant management. At any point, you can stand up and run away, but at any point, you can really throw an effective strike. With side control, again, it's really difficult to throw a really effective strike. But from knee on belly, man, you can cause a lot of damage. And so I'd like to see guys can throw a few strikes from there. They can maintain balance. Now, a lot of people, they really struggle to posture up from knee on belly. That's the big thing I'm looking for. Or I'd say the two big things are how do you do that windshield wiper movement from side to side? And how well can you posture up and throw a simulated strike? That really shows that you're starting to get proficient at the knee on belly. Now, the ninth technique is inverting. He's really getting good at different types of Granbys. Obviously, the side-to-side Granby and the wrestler Granby that you see in the 10th Planet warm-ups, that's the first step. I want to see that you can do those. And that tells me a lot. Like, right when I see that, I go, okay, this guy's definitely been training a bit. He's put some effort and some time into really learning these. It really impresses me, especially when a big guy can do it. If you're a big guy listening to this, I'm telling you, whether you're at 10th Planet Decatur or your own different school, your instructor is going to be so impressed if you're 250 pounds and you're grabbing like a small guy from side to side. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's a very uncomfortable position the bigger you are, but the juice is worth the squeeze. It is going to open up so many different techniques that you didn't think you could play, as well as it's really going to impress your training partners and your instructor. Now, I will put on the side, I recommend choosing an inverted technique, whether it's like a kiss of the dragon from Reverse De La Hiva, or a technique that Brandon really prioritizes when he's really trying to teach inversion, especially inverted attacks, is that Ryan Hall inverted triangle. I think that Ryan Hall inverted triangle is an excellent place to start when you're first learning how to invert into attacks. Now, I believe it's in, I can't remember what 10th Planet warmup it's in. It might be B, 10th Planet warmup B, but it's in one of the 10th Planet warmups. You can watch on YouTube. Frank Barca does a beautiful job doing all of those techniques, or you can learn it from Ryan Hall. I'd highly recommend that Ryan Hall DVD, or if Ryan Hall's got any free stuff on YouTube on that inverted triangle, just going, inverting, and then popping up that triangle. It's one of the most beautiful techniques. I've hit it a bunch over the years, and I've spent a lot of time practicing it over the years. I've definitely practiced it at each belt level, white, blue, purple, brown, black. And I think that that's the technique I would recommend you start with. But any type of Imanari roll or 50-50 inversion attack is also really, really good place to start as well. Now, this last one is, I think, really important for especially starting to show you're really starting to get comfortable with your guard. And that's moving between guards, particularly from closed guard to butterfly guard to half guard, or from your half guard to butterfly guard to closed guard. Now, a lot of guys, when they get in half guard, you're starting to see that butter half, where one, you're taking your outside foot, you're making a butterfly hook, and then playing with one butterfly hook, as well as your bottom leg still in a half guard position. Well, I think being able to go to a full butterfly from there, and then from butterfly being able to go to closed guard, it's crucial. It's really going to teach you how the guards are connected. I first heard this idea from Keenan Cornelius, where he was talking about filtering opponents through guards, because a lot of people at the beginning, and for me for a very long time, I thought of the guard as, oh, there's butterfly guard, there's Z guard, there's deep half guard. And I saw them as separate entities. Well, now I know that no, the guard is the guard. They're all just tools to attack or to defend yourself. And really learning how to move between them, especially when you can start moving between them and throwing offensive movements or even defensive movements, you're going to really start to level up. And I think the best way to do it is, again, from those three positions, is learning from a closed guard. You're in closed guard, you're having trouble having any success. You know, you've tried to throw up an armbar triangle, the guy's just really burying in. I think being able to go to a butterfly guard to change your attack and to change your defense is a really good option. And then from the butterfly, obviously, you can go into half guard really simply. So really learn how to transition, and then you can really pick a technique from each one of those guards to work on. So it could be your closed guard, you're looking maybe for hip bump sweeps. When the hip bump sweep doesn't work, maybe you move to your butterfly and look for the you look for the butterfly sweep. Butterfly sweep's not working, you might go to half guard and try and work on your underhook escapes up into dogfight. And then you can start working on your plan B or your old school sweeps. These 10 techniques, again, are just a guide for you guys. I think every practitioner should have this in your game. You should be able to show, especially by the time you're a black belt, you should be able to show all these techniques at a proficient level. It might not be your A game, but you should be able to hit it, especially on anybody white and blue belt level. It's also part of the basics. You're going to learn the basics of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu by mastering these techniques. I just want to say one more time, again, if you're having tons of success, you feel like you've got a great game plan to getting to that white belt, or excuse me, going from white to blue belt or even blue to purple belt, then keep doing your thing. But I know a lot of people start to feel lost, and they start to feel sometimes like their instructor kind of jumps around a little bit too much, or maybe they're not even just, they're just not enjoying the curriculum that month. It's rubber guard month, and you just, I don't really like rubber guard, or you're working omoplatas or leg locks. You're like, I hear a lot of guys, this is a really common complaint now, is I feel like I'm constantly seeing leg locks, or my instructor's constantly teaching leg locks, and I feel like I'm not learning the basics. Well, look at this list, choose a couple of them, and really focus, you and your training partner, focus on it over the next couple of months, and you'll be shocked at how much success you have, how much more success you have by adding these techniques in. Remember, guys, tomorrow the PGF returns live. We actually have some games tonight, Thursday. I believe today's the 9th, but we've got quite a few makeup games happening tonight. Moises Carrasco has 6 games. He has a couple tonight. I believe he has 2 tonight and 4 tomorrow. So he's definitely the guy to watch because he's was the last guy that entered the PGF. So we haven't seen a lot of Moises, but he's looked really, really sharp. But he's got some really tough matches coming up over the next couple of days. I believe he's got Elijah and Caleb McAllister tomorrow, our top 2 guys in the PGF. So that'll be really fun to watch. But again, make sure you tune in at 6 p.m. I believe I'm going to be starting the broadcast at 5:30. So if you want to hear me break down some of the matches and hear me talk about the standings, join me at 5:30. I love and appreciate you guys. Really appreciate all the support. Hope you have the best day. Peace.